Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us today. Thank you for being here. So we started this preaching series in the book of Romans, and we're calling it Gifts Beyond Words, because Paul uses words in this book that are profound words: justification, righteousness, sanctification, and so forth. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get muddled in dictionary words of Bible. What does all of this mean? So we just started talking this past week about the fact that God gives us gifts simply because he loves us. He sees us as not strangers, but he sees us as people who were in his mind even before we created. In fact, the Bible says he knew us even before we were born. And by far, I think the greatest gift God gives us is himself. He gives us himself. Yesterday we shared a passage of scripture, and all of these are in Romans. In Romans 14, Paul says, no one lives to themselves alone, and no one dies to themselves alone. That if we live, we live in the Lord, and if we die, we die in the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We are his children. But beyond that, God also gives us the gift of Jesus himself. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And he also gives us, to live in us, his Holy Spirit. Romans 5, God pours out his love into our hearts by his Spirit, whom God has given us. We don't earn it. It's given to us. And then in Romans chapter 1, after all of these beautiful statements by Paul, and he talks about this righteousness, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First of all, it was given to the seed of Abraham, to the Jewish people, and then to the Gentiles, all of us. For in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, I don't know about you, but we don't use that word very much, righteous. And there's an old British saying that says, when things are go bad, when things are wrong, we need to put them to rights. We need to put them to rights. In other words, we need to make it right. If things are wrong, we need to make it right. And that God gives us this amazing righteousness. Now, to me, one of the other great gifts God gives us, and I sometimes wonder why he did this, because he could have made us 100% loyal to him every second of the day. He could have made us spiritual robots. He could have. He could have created us that the moment we take our first breath, God's on our mind, we think godly thoughts, we're all on our own, but it's all about God. We never make a mistake, we never say anything wrong, we never have bad dreams, we never treat anybody poorly, we do everything perfectly. In other words, he makes us a robot. But robots don't have relationships. And God didn't make us as robots. He made us and put part of himself in us so that we can have a relationship with him that is demonstrated by how we treat one another. It flows. There's something not quite right when we say, I love God with every fiber of my being, but I can't stand that person and that person and that person and that person and that person. I wish everybody was like me so the world would be white. Just, that's not the way God created us. But he created us to have a relationship with him and then with each other. In fact, what's the greatest and the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And what's the second? Love your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? Everybody. So now, all of a sudden, because God gives us free will, we sometimes wish, why didn't you make me a robot? I could do things so much better. And this is what God gives us. Himself. He gives us Jesus. He gives us the Spirit. He gives us one another. And he gives us this amazing gift called putting things to rights. And sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to even get close to living our life the way we want to live our life, in such a way that honors everyone around us. But this word righteousness is really profound, because it gives us, it just reminds us of what God does for us as well as give it to us. So I don't know if you remember this story or not, and I can't quite remember what I put on PowerPoint this week. It's been quite a week. But back in Matthew chapter 3, it's the first time this word grabbed my attention. It's the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus comes into the world, of course. We've gone through Christmas time. We looked at all those stories of his birth and so forth. And then he begins his ministry. And Matthew records this in such a unique way about his baptism, how Jesus places such a high value on baptism, because it seems like at his baptism, his ministry begins. And just notice this. This is Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It's not long at all. It says, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, I just want to stop to say, why in the world would Jesus ever need to be baptized? Now, baptism is not new. Baptism, many people in the Old Testament were baptized. It was to say, I'm going to start again. So if you're like me, I need to be baptized every day, sometimes a couple of times a day. Start again. So here's this baptism. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Here's the gift. So John says, he tries to deter Jesus. I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. How could I do this? And Jesus replies, let it be so. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. It's to make you, John, it's to make all of us 2,000 years later right. It's to get that right relationship. It's to have this righteousness that's a gift. We've never earned it. It's a gift, and Jesus begins the gift. God's already given us himself. He's already given us Jesus. He's already given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us one another, but he also gives us a spiritual gift. I want you to know, my son, my daughter, you're right. I'm making this right. It's not that we don't make mistakes, but I'm making this right, this relationship that you can have with God, and you don't have to be controlled by evil forces that are always coming at us, but that we're aware of that. And we keep coming back to the Father. So this is so cool. Anyway, it says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. And Jesus said, let it be so. It's now proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John went ahead and said, okay. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God coming on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And I don't mean for this to be improper, but I think based on everything that we've said already about righteousness, that God has made us right with him because of Jesus, that the voice of heaven is saying to you and to me, this is my son. This is my daughter. And I am well pleased. Even when we aren't well pleased with ourselves, the righteousness of God says, this is my daughter. This is my son. I am well pleased. I pour out my love into their life. I'm making it right because I love you. He could have made us robots, but he gives us the choice to engage in the relationship with him that he already has with us. And when we start thinking things about God that are somewhat negative, we need to stop and say, that's not how God feels about us. He doesn't feel that way about us. He loves us. He cares for us. He's pouring himself out into our lives. And it's interesting, this concept of righteousness, and Paul picks up this concept of righteousness all throughout the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, he talks about this, that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the, anybody remember? The righteousness of God, because of God pouring himself out into our lives by Jesus Christ. And by Jesus' baptism, he fulfills all of this righteousness in our lives. And Peter picks up on this too, and he says, for Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, to put things to rights. And there's this beautiful story of righteousness that God gives to us. So I have a brief sermon this morning. That's it. We're just going to start looking week by week by week at these beautiful gifts God continually gives us. But I would be remiss if I just didn't remind ourselves about the one who writes this book. Saul, who used to think the best thing that he could do is to get rid of Christians. Just get rid of Christians. A lot of people didn't believe in Jesus. They thought that he was some kind of fanatic. They thought that he deserved death. They never believed in any kind of resurrection. They wanted nothing to do with it. And Paul was one of those guys. In fact, he was one of those guys who just wanted to stomp out Christians because he loved God, but he didn't believe in Jesus and he didn't believe in Christianity at all. He didn't believe in this righteousness that Christ provided. Until he heard the voice of God. Now, I don't know about you. I've never heard an audible voice of God. But I know there have been times when you know there's something inside of you that's more than you, that's been encouraging you to go deeper into your spiritual life. And I don't know what your relationship is like with God. I hope it's wonderful. But I remember, maybe many of us remember the day that we said, God, I want to commit my life to you. And the only way that I can explain that is it's somehow bigger than us. You just knew you had to do this. You just knew you want to do this. It was bigger than you. It was more important than you. It was what was leading you. It was a whispering in your soul. It's something that you just were encouraged to do. And there's this event that takes place that changes our life forever. And so Paul had this experience, no pun intended, that blindsided him. And if you know his story, you know what I mean. He's on his way to get rid of Christians. And all of a sudden, wham, it just hit him. A bright light, a voice out loud that said, Saul, what are you doing? You know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Paul says, well, you and I would probably say, well, what is this? Who's speaking to me? Who are you? And Jesus responded, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And yet, he was in heaven. I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting all these people. Who are you? I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting me. And then his transformation begins, and he doesn't look back. And to me, what's so cool is he's the guy that's teaching us about righteousness, a guy who lived a completely unrighteous life. And later in chapter 1, and we're not going to take time to do it, verses 18 to 31, it talks about people who just live a selfish life. And Paul uses the phrase, God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. They were doing this, and God gave them over. In other words, he's saying, I could change it like that. I could change that horrible lifestyle just like that. But I'm not going to, because I don't want a robot. I want a relationship. So here's how people have chosen to live. And if that's how they're going to live, that's how they're going to live. But you know, a lot of people who've lived this way, maybe you've done this, you've lived a selfish life, maybe a horrible life, and God changed you, and you're so glad that he did, because he's all about making things right. And you know, with the people whom you love more than you could put into words, if there's some tension, if there's problem, you just want to make it right. You can't sleep, you can't eat, you just want to make it right. There's something not right with you when the person that you love most is at odds with you. You just don't work right. You've got to make it right, because that love relationship is there. What's one of the greatest gifts God gives us? Himself, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, always, always saying to us, always, never stop saying, always saying to us, I love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. You're my child. And it's all right. It's all right. I want to make it right. And Christ does that for us. Isn't that a pretty cool gift? The righteousness of God. It is profound. So what I'd like to do today, to conclude my part of this, not long, but just maybe 30 seconds, I'm finished. I would like you to conclude the sermon today just by going into yourself and maybe talking to God, just letting him know how you feel about him based on how he feels about you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.